Hope that everyone's doing well. The rest of us can be turning in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Well, thank you all again for coming this morning. We have a good group of folks here. Hope that you got a blessing from being here. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read the first 11 verses there in this passage. Verse number 2 says that they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. So I'd like to preach to you this morning about the stone that was rolled away. The stone that was rolled away. Before we read the scriptures, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings on us. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of salvation. Thank you for the blessing of the righteousness of Christ that has been given to us because of the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. We're thankful that you look upon us as saved people in perfection, Lord. We're thankful that we can come to you and we can pray and we can bring our requests to you, bring our burdens to you and our problems to you. We're thankful for the promise and the hope and the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means to us and just the day that you have given to us, Father. I pray that you'd help us this morning as we look into your word, as we hear the preaching of your word, as we read your word. We pray that you would open up our eyes and illuminate us to what you would have for us this morning and help me to say what is needful and necessary. I'll thank you for it, Lord. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 24. Hope that you're already there and you have your Bibles. Verse number 1 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. It says in verse number 2, we have the story here of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and this group of women here that have come to the sepulchre that morning. They were bringing spices and different things to prepare the body of the Lord Jesus and embalm his body. They came to the sepulchre, to the grave, and they just expected that they would find a stone that would be over the mouth of that grave there, that sepulchre. He was buried on the side of a hill there, carved out. They expected to find a stone still over the mouth of the grave. But when they get there, the first thing that they encounter was the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre. There it sat, just a stone. And that stone was an object lesson to the women who came there that day. The stone was sitting there and it was speaking to them, preaching a message to them. Something was different whenever they came to the sepulchre that day. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Stones are significant in the Bible. We find in 1 Kings chapter number 5 that Solomon commanded that they use great and costly stones that they would quarry and cut to be used in the building of the temple of the Lord. Something that would be stable and have a good foundation, something that would be solid and secure, permanent. You don't want to build a house or a temple on top of sand or caliche or dirt or something like that. You want something solid, and so they would use stones. Matthew chapter number 24, Jesus Christ is speaking to the disciples, and the disciples say, look at all of the beautiful stones in the temple here. How beautiful that they are. Something that was permanent, never going anywhere. They thought, man, this is such a great thing here. And Jesus said, you see all the stones there? Here shortly, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. The place will be destroyed. And Jesus was correct. In AD 70, the Roman Emperor Titus came in and he completely destroyed the city of Jerusalem, knocked down the temple. There was not one stone left upon another, just as Jesus had said. And so from that, we learn that many times what man thinks is permanent, what man thinks is stable, if God wills it, he can bring it down. And that's what the soldiers thought. That's what the Jews thought. They thought, well, we've killed the Messiah. We've killed Jesus Christ. We've gotten rid of him. We put him in a sepulcher. We put him in a tomb. We've rolled the great stone over the mouth of the tomb. We put a seal on it. He's never going to come out. He's never going to bother us again. They thought for sure they had rid of themselves of this menace to society. Amen. They thought they had gotten rid of him, the man that had threatened their kingdom. The man that had called them to repentance. The man that had told them that they were sinners. The man that had told them that they needed to get right. The man that had threatened their righteousness. He's done. We've gotten rid of him. We put him in a tomb. We saw the soldiers put a spear in his side. We saw the blood gush out. But they were wrong. Mary Magdalene and the mother of Mary, or the mother of James, arrived at the tomb that morning, and they find not the stone rolled over the mouth of the tomb. They saw it rolled away, and there's an angel sitting on top of the stone. He says, well, come on in. Look inside of the tomb. It's empty. Don't you remember what he said? I mean, he told you that he would rise from the dead. He told you all of these things. Go ahead and see. And the stone tells us about a story about the power of God and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ named himself as the stone. Jesus Christ called himself the rock. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the stone. In the Old Testament, God says, I am the rock. Jesus comes to the New Testament, he says, I am the rock. Matthew 21:42, Jesus Christ identifies himself as the stone. He says, you Pharisees are the ones that have rejected the stone that God sent. And now he has become the head of the cornerstone. Jesus is the stone. We can compare this stone on the outside of the temple and on the outside of the sepulcher that had been rolled away. We can compare that stone to Jesus Christ and we can learn some lessons. I'm going to give you three lessons this morning that we can learn from the stone that was rolled away. That stone preached to us, and it's still preaching to us today. It's still giving us lessons. The first thing that we learn is that it was a stone of exaltation. Now, when I say exaltation, I'm talking about victory. Jesus won the victory that day over death. Jesus beat death that day, and we have the stone that was rolled away, and it was a monument to the fact that Jesus beat death. That stone is saying to all of us, Jesus has defeated death. Death has been defeated. And here's a group of women. They come to the tomb that day, and they expected to see the stone rolled over the mouth of the tomb. They thought, for sure, that's the first thing we're going to see. But it was not there. That stone had been rolled away, and the
stone was saying that Jesus Christ had beat death that day. Jesus won the victory that day. A stone was usually placed over the tomb to keep death in. It was to seal up the tomb. Nobody wants to smell death. We want to keep it sealed up. We want to keep it away from the public. When we bury someone in the ground, we put them 6 feet under and we throw dirt on the top of the grave and we seal it up. We want to get death away from us. We want to keep it contained. No one wants to smell death. When Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, roll away the stone. The people there that day said, well, he's been dead 4 days. By now he stinks. Death has a stink to it. Death has a stench about it. But the stone that was rolled over the mouth of the tomb of Christ could not hold Jesus. It could not hold him in. Death could not hold Jesus in the tomb that day. The seal had to be broken. Jesus Christ came out that day. Jesus Christ defeated death. He crossed that plain. Just as a runner crosses the finish line and he breaks the tape and he's declared victorious. So Christ crossed the plain and he has been declared victorious over our great arch enemy, death. Everyone hates death. You might think of death. How am I going to die? How's it all going to end for me? It's our greatest enemy. But yet Jesus Christ defeated death that day. A stone indicates something that is permanent. When someone dies, we put a stone at the head of the grave. It marks where they died or where they are buried. That way the weather can't get to it and the elements can't get to it. It's something that is permanent, something that is final. When Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, they were written in stone with the finger of God, telling us that they should not be broken. They are something that's permanent and final. Death has the final say for man. It's our greatest enemy. Apart from Christ, death has the final say, and the headstone is a monument to the dead. But Christ broke through something that was so permanent and so final, our greatest enemy. He was victorious over death that day. And the stone is standing there telling us that Jesus Christ won the victory that day over death. Death didn't have the final say for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had the final say. He won the victory over death that day. Death couldn't hold Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ won the victory. And I'd say to all of you here this morning that if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ and you're in Christ, that death's not going to have the final say in your life. Amen. Death's not going to have the final say over your loved ones. Amen. One of these days you'll get to see your loved ones again. One of these days there's going to be a resurrection. Amen. Death doesn't have the final say for you. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 about death. For the Christian, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Jesus Christ taunted death that day. The thing that we all fear, the thing that we all hate, our greatest fear, Jesus Christ taunted death that day. And now you and I can look death in the face and say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because one of these days, the graves are going to open up. One of these days, that 6 foot of dirt that we put on top of people is going to open up, and people are going to come up out of those graves one of these days by the power of God. One of these days, there's going to be a resurrection. Death will be eclipsed permanently, and it will be dissolved by the resurrection. One of these days, Christ is going to call His church home. He's going to take us home one of these days. That stone sitting there was a stone that reminds us that Jesus Christ won the victory that day. And you say, well, that's impossible. That's impossible. Did you know I serve a God that with Him all things are impossible or all things are possible? He can do anything He wants. The Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Through Christ we can defeat death. Through the resurrection of Jesus we can defeat death. Jesus Christ had been telling His disciples over and over and over again, look, I'm coming back. I want to be resurrected one of these days. And the resurrection, the empty tomb there, that stone that sat there was a vindication. It was a verification of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he said there that day. He'd been telling them over and over again. The stone was a stone of victory. But the stone is not only a stone of victory, it's a stone of foundation. You and I can build our lives upon this stone. The stone teaches us that we can build our lives upon this resurrected Christ. Not just a good teacher, not just a good man, but the resurrected Christ. This stone is a firm foundation for our faith. This stone is a foundation that we can build our lives upon and build our faith upon this man. If he had just been any other ordinary man made of the seed of Adam, he'd still be in the grave today. He wouldn't have come up out of the grave. All the other religious leaders of the earth are still in the grave today except for one. Only one. How about Muhammad, the leader of Islam? He's still in the grave today. He didn't resurrect. How about Buddha, the leader of Buddhism? He's in the grave today. Charles Taze Russell, leader of the Jehovah's Witnesses, he's in the grave today. Joseph Smith from the Mormons. We could go on and on. Hinduism, secularism, all of these different belief systems all have a leader that's still in the grave today because they are sinful men. They are sinners. None of them have a gospel. None of them have any hope. None of them are true except for one, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is true. And if you and I were to build our lives or build our faith on anything except Jesus Christ and that risen Savior, you're building your life or your faith on sinking sand. That's right. Only Christ and Him alone. Jesus isn't in the grave today because He's different than all other men. Amen. Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God. Amen. He never sinned one time, and so you and I can trust every word that He said. We can trust every word in the Scriptures. And the stone rolled away tells us that Jesus was infallible and sinless. Look, there it is. The empty tomb. The sinless Son of God walked out. We can build our lives upon Him. We have a song that we sing in the hymnal called "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." It goes like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If the stone had not been rolled away, there's no reason for you and I to build our lives upon this foundation. We might as well close the doors and go home. Jesus Christ had to have risen from the dead. All of Christianity is built upon the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There's many teachings that me and you could compromise on and still be a Christian, but not the empty tomb. Amen. Jesus Christ has to be risen from the dead, or Christianity is not true. It's worthless. It is worth nothing. Christianity is a religion of the risen Savior. Paul the Apostle again writes in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15:17. He says, if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. Our faith is no good if Jesus isn't alive. Our faith is futile. Our faith is worthless if Christ is not risen from the dead. But Jesus did rise from the dead. The gospel is not good news if Jesus is still in the grave. That news is bad news if Jesus is still in the grave. Can you imagine a gospel that goes something like this? Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. They took Him down off that cross. They put Him in a tomb and they sealed up the tomb. And He's still there today. And you can go and visit Him. Make your pilgrimage to Jerusalem to go and see your dead Savior who's still there today. The only thing we could say about that is, well, He was a good man. He did some good things. He did some good works, but He can't do anything for you now, not in the present. There's nothing that He can do for you. That's not good news. We build our faith upon the resurrected Christ. We build our lives upon the resurrected Christ. All of our lives should be built upon Christ. He's not called the rock in the scriptures on accident. He's called the rock because we can build our lives upon him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7, he says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a man who is wise." We can build our lives upon Christ, the Christ in the scriptures. Jesus is declaring that he is the God of the Old Testament when he says, "I am the rock." You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, there's two gods in the Bible. You have the old mean God in the Old Testament. Boy, he's full of wrath and judgment and negativity and all of that. And then you have the nice God in the New Testament. And that's Jesus. He's merciful and he's gracious and loving and all of that. But did you know that those two gods are the same in one? There's only one God. And Jesus Christ is the same God of the Old Testament. The very same one. He is the rock. He is the rock. You and I can build our faith. We can build our lives upon this resurrected Christ. We can build our lives upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit to you this morning that the stone that was rolled away is a stone of foundation. We can build our lives upon him. It's not only a stone of exaltation or victory, a stone of foundation, but it is a stone of rest. A stone of rest. Did you know that you and I can find rest and relaxation with this stone that was rolled away? The angel comes from heaven on the morning of the resurrection. There's a great earthquake. Other things are happening. He rolls away the stone and he comes and he sets upon the stone and he finds rest upon the stone. There he waits for the Marys to come and the rest of the women to come. And he says, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Don't you know that when those women came in and they saw the empty tomb, they were relieved as well as shocked. And they found rest for their souls. The church finds rest in the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is alive. There's no rest in a dead man. There's no rest in someone who has failed to defeat death. We find our rest upon this stone. What good would a crucified Savior be if he didn't rise from the dead? Nothing. Nothing. No good at all. After the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we see the disciples run and hide for fear. Oh, they're afraid. They just know they're next. Their heads are fixing to roll. They're going to be the next to be crucified. They're afraid, apprehensive, fearful, hiding. But then Jesus Christ comes and appears to them. And as he appears to them, he greets them with these words, "All hail." You know what all hail means? Rejoice. Rejoice, I'm alive. There they come and they fall down at the feet of Jesus. And they grab his feet and they start to worship him. And all the rest that they found, all the happiness and the joy that they found because their Savior, their Messiah, was alive. Did you know that's the same thing for us here today? That's the same kind of reaction that you and I ought to have. Rest. We can rely upon him. And then they go out and they preach about this resurrected Christ. And they give rest to other people as they preached. And they had so much confidence and so much security in this Savior who was risen that they gave their very lives for this man that they had seen alive. Every one of the disciples became martyrs except for one, John. And he lived to be 90 years old. But the rest of them became martyrs. Now, they didn't die for a lie. They died for the truth. They died because they had seen a man resurrected from the dead who said he was going to be resurrected from the dead. And they said, "We'll give our lives for it." They had that much rest. How much rest do you have in this resurrected Christ? Do you find comfort in the resurrection? Do you find security in the resurrection? Because if there is no resurrection, there is no Savior, if there is no God, and every one of you, and myself included, should go run and hide today. Because there's nothing that's certain in the world if there is no God and there is no Savior. What's to keep the sun from running into the earth? What's to keep you and I from turning into some kind of animal? What keeps everything ticking in the world if there is no resurrected Christ? What is it? Good question. Good question. It's a risen Savior. It's a risen Savior. The fact that the stone was rolled away from the mouth of the tomb gives Christians rest. And Jesus Christ invites all who are weary and heavy laden to come and find rest. Come to me. Come to me. He didn't say come to a religion. You know why? Because a religion will just wear you down and wear you out. It only requires. Even the commandments on the Word of God, they don't save and they don't give you rest. It only condemns. That's all that the commandments do. But they can't help you. The law of God, the holy law of God cannot help you. But Christ says, come to me. He doesn't say come to government. Government only cares about itself. It doesn't care about you. Christ says, come to me, all you are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Did you notice that he calls a certain class, a specific people to himself? He says, everyone who's tired, everyone who's weary. He doesn't say, hey, all you self-sufficient, self-righteous people, come to me. No, the ones who are weary, the ones who are tired, who know that they're not sufficient in and of themselves, come to me. You know why we should go to Christ? Because Christ teaches you in word and deed. He says, learn of me, learn of me. We come to Christ and he calls us to himself because Jesus Christ helps us to carry the load of life and the load of sin that we cannot bear ourselves. Jesus says, come to me and find rest because he is the true rest. He is alive. That stone that was rolled away from the mouth of the tomb is a stone of rest. Boy, if the stone had still been rolled over the mouth of the tomb, there's no rest there. You might as well keep looking because it's not there. But it's a stone of rest. And we can lay ourselves upon it and find rest. It speaks to us. It speaks to us of exaltation and victory. It speaks to us of foundation and strength. It speaks to us of relaxation and rest. But what about those who reject Jesus Christ? What if you reject Christ? How does the stone speak to you? The stone of Christ. It's not a stone of victory, it's not a stone of strength, and it's not a stone of rest. It's a crushing stone that crushes and grinds to powder. He is the stone that people stumble over. He is the stone that will crush one day. Jesus Christ came to the Pharisees and he says, you've rejected the stone. And it's the same stone that you stumble over and it will fall out of the sky and it will crush you to powder. It condemns. Condemns. It's no longer a stone of grace. It's no longer a stone of help. It's no longer a stone of mercy. It's a crushing stone. And Jesus said, one of these days, that stone's going to come back out of the sky. It's going to smash. Smash them. That's what Jesus would be. How about those who harden their hearts and reject Christ? They're not going to meet him as Savior one of these days. They will meet him as their judge. And there will be no mercy in that day. There will be no grace in that day. They have hardened their hearts against the Lord. So how about your heart this morning? Is your heart like a stone against Christ? Is your heart like that tomb on that resurrection morning, only this time the stone is rolled over the mouth of the tomb and there is only death inside. You're dead against Christ. You're dead against God. You're dead against the commandments of God. And your heart is just sealed shut. Nothing's coming in. Nothing's going out. I would plead with you today. I would plead with you to believe on this resurrected Christ. To believe on Him. Because Jesus came to set people free from their sins. Trust Him today. That Savior is alive today. Would you roll away the stone from your heart? Let Jesus in, speaking to you, saving you. Trust Him today. Let's pray.